Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Tracy. Welcome to the What's Your Next podcast.
Hi. So excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
So excited to have you here. So today we're talking all things nonfiction, but first things first, Tracy is a long-term podcaster before the 2020s.
Yes.
Because a lot of people become a podcaster, became a reader at that time, but we're kind of like an OG in the late 2010s, in that era. So talk to us, how did you get started and about your podcast?
So the show is called The Stacks, and basically I got started because I was reading books and posting about them on social media a little bit and talking about them with friends. And my boss at the time was like, you should write a blog. And I was like, never. I hate writing. Like, how dare you suggest I write something? And then I was thinking about it, and I was sort of an early adopter in the podcast space. Like, I was listening to podcasts back in like 2010.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I could talk about books. Like, that might be fun. I do like to talk. And then I wouldn't have to write anything. And so I thought, wouldn't it be fun to talk to like some of my most well-read friends about books and maybe do like a book club with them? And so that's where it started. And when the show first started, I remember thinking, wouldn't it be crazy if an author came on the podcast?
Yeah.
Which now like seven or eight years later, I'm like, yeah, could have maybe envisioned that a little better. Like, obviously, authors would want to come talk about their books, but here we are.
Yeah. I think we started around the same time. I've been podcasting since 2015, but this show started in 2017. It was like I had other shows, and one show led me to this show, to the other one.
Amazing.
And it was the same thing. It was like, authors, like, what was going to happen? And, you know, it was organic. 2020 happened. I was starting to do authors in 2019, but 2020 happened and the world shut down and publishers were like, hey, can you actually promote our books? Podcasts exist? And I was like,
so yeah, I started in 2018. So a little bit after you started kind of transitioning to books.
Yeah. So, but it's kind of like an interesting, what's the landscape? What do you see in the landscape now that I've seen changes obviously happen. Obviously 2020, TikTok, a lot of people are now readers. It's pretty common for me to hear people, like strangers in the street, and be like, hey, I'm actually a reader and I read romantasy or I read so-and-so this. And I'm like, awesome. Well, before 2020, it was pretty aside, like a fringe kind of like hobby.
Yeah.
And especially like different books, not just like the new releases, but also like different backlist titles and niche and all these areas. It's like people having like exploring those interests in books.
Yeah. I definitely think like the biggest shift to me has been the explosion of romanticy. Like, I don't even think that was a word when I started doing this. Like, I definitely don't. When someone said it for the first time, I was like, huh, I see it. But just that whole sort of book talk, literary landscape, like what they're reading over there, I feel is really new since the 2020s, obviously because book talk exploded since then. But I think that's a really big shift. I also think when I first started doing the show, like Black authors were sort of treated not great and fringed out. And then in 2020, there was obviously the explosion and it was like, oh, Black authors. And I feel like now I'm seeing that sort of fall off again.
Yeah.
So I think that like I have kind of lived through this trend of literary racism. Obviously, literary racism isn't a trend, but that moment from like 2020 to 2023, where it was like, we care about Black people, like, hello. And I feel like we have gone now regressing. Yep. And I think also another trend that I've seen a lot, and I hope this one is here to stay, is the rise of the trans author. I think there have been so many amazing books that have come out by trans authors in the last few years. Whereas when I started the show, obviously trans people existed and trans writers existed, but they were not getting platformed and they were not getting the opportunities that I feel like they are getting, which has just been fantastic for the literary landscape.
Yeah, and we're getting diversity in the trans community. Like, it's not just into literary fiction, into detransition. It's actually in romance, in historical mysteries, and mysteries
and horror.
We're getting like a whole, so we're not getting the pain, which is normally what we normally see when we talk about communities underrepresented. We think about the pain, but we're not looking at the joy aspect of it. And then the other aspect. So if you're a well-rounded person and you have different interests, which is a really great place to be. Yeah. I think in some ways with Black authors, we saw the Black joy and we see like that space, and that space is growing. But seeing how we're seeing, obviously, with the political landscape and how people feel much more comfortable coming out and their racism, it's sad. But hopefully trends come back and hopefully we go back to era.
Yeah.
And, you know, when it happens, maybe we'll see a shift that's happening.
Totally.
But, you know, I think it's interesting too that we have lived through trends. Like, it's not just one time. So we've seen the rise and fall. Just like romanticy was romanticy is a little paranormal with a little bit of fantasy or romantic arc of fantasy. It was always there. They just need a new marketing term.
Yeah.
And it's funny enough, like now that's what's been consumed. And then sometimes it's going to change, just like rom-coms were a thing for a while. And now it's transitioning to mysteries and other spaces. But it's interesting now to be being in the space from this area, from this point of view, and seeing like the landscape changing. And just being nimble and trying to, you know.
Totally. Yeah. I think also like some of it is that the people in publishing, they have no clue. And I feel like they're similar to like us on the outside being like, what's going on? And like shifting based on that. And so I feel like the trends move so quickly in publishing because whoever is like on the marketing team is like, oh, I saw this TikTok. We should be doing that. And then everyone's doing it. And it feels not rooted so much in the data, but just like in the vibes, which I think is a very interesting piece of the publishing world.
Well, we're seeing in the Roman space, there was a lot of like the Kindle Unlimited, the marketing, the Indie 2 pop, to trad pop for romance author. Like I've known traditional romance authors or people who want to be traditionally published. They're struggling to get to an agent because they need to show proof that they actually are. They're selling books. They need to have social media. They need to have. So they're actually expecting the author to basically build their own business, proof of concept, and then get a traditionally published deal, which is like crazy. Because in the past, it's one of the many income streams. But you don't have to. You think about, you just want to write. You don't want to think about selling, putting ads, getting art teams, getting marketing, doing the whole work and do the whole thing that the publisher team should be doing.
Right.
You know.
Right. That's so interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about the stacks and like what can listeners expect since we're in a podcast phase, and that's when it's transitioned over to new podcast listeners. And if you haven't heard about the Stacks is a long-running show. There's lots of episodes to go back to, which is always exciting. So
many.
It's one exciting thing when you have someone's, I just discovered a show and I just go back to your backlist.
Yeah. You know? I always laugh when people tell me they're listening to like older episodes because I'm, don't judge the audio. Like I just started. I didn't know anything. I was editing the show myself. Like I don't know what I'm doing. But the way the show works, at least now, it's changed a little bit. So if you do go back, you'll notice some changes. But the way the show works now is shows every Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, I do sort of a in-depth interview. And this episode might be with an author, but it also might be just with a book lover. That same person will come back the last Wednesday of the month, which is where we do our book club episodes. And then all the Wednesdays in between are more traditional author interviews where I'm interviewing an author who has a new or a new-ish book on. I love books, but I also love pop culture. I love politics. I love current events. So the show mixes in a lot of those things. The most recent episode that I did at the time of this recording is with Den Michelle Norris, who she's a writer. She's also the editor-in-chief of Electric Lit. And we were talking about her new books. And then we got off on a tangent of Ezra Klein. So that's sort of what you can expect on the show is like at one moment we're talking about books and literature. And the next moment we're talking about Taylor Swift's flat boots. And that's just what happens. But I do like to tell people I am a reader. I am not a writer. So this is a show for readers. This is not a show where you're going to get the ins and outs of sentence structure and syntax. I don't know. I don't care. I like to gossip. I like to know the details. I want to know why you made that decision. And aside from the book club episodes, there are no spoilers on the show. I hate a spoiler. So I am aggressively, like I will do an interview and the author will start answering the question and I'll interrupt them and be like, sorry, we have to cut that. Can you do it again and take the spoiler out? If there's a spoiler, I tell you basically three times before the episode starts and in the show notes. I never want to spoil. I just can't handle it. So if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I want to listen to that episode, but I haven't read the book yet, as long as it's not a book club episode, there will be no spoilers.
I appreciate it. And someone who has done a lot of author interviews and I try to keep them like spoiler free. And I talked about tangents. I love talking about reality TV shows. I love talking about other aspects that make the book actually what you actually write. Because a lot of time, the essence of who you are comes from your different interests, hobbies, yeah. jobs, experiences. And that's what makes it much more interesting.
Totally.
And less about the actual book itself. Because it's like, you can binge on that book, but there's so much more that there's obviously. By the time you listen to my episodes, they already have a backlist. They have other books you can go to, but you understand as a person who the author is. And then hearing what they kind of read in my show, I just ask them, like, what books do you read?
Yeah.
So then it tells you, like, oh, this is what you're reading. So then I can actually all out. But I love the fact that you're like, no spoilers too, because sometimes you just don't want to, you just want to get to know this person to figure out, like, can we be friends?
Yeah.
And will I buy your book as a friend?
Yeah, totally.
So for the book clubs, like, what kind of books do you tend to pick up? Like, you tend to pick up, like, it obviously has transitioned over the years, but do you have, like, particular, like, niche or particular areas?
No,
or
we do everything. We do fiction, nonfiction. Once a year in April for National Poetry Month, we do a poetry collection. This month, we're reading a book called The Lilac People in September. Last month, we read Braiding Sweetgrass. We read Lolita this year. We read in the past, I mean, we've read, our first book club pick was Exit West. We've done Between the World and Me. Basically, the way the book club works is I want it to be as wide-ranging as possible. We've done romance. The only thing we don't do is horror because I am scared of horror, but I think this year we're gonna do one. I'm really nervous about it, but I think we're going to do it.
You can do horror light. You don't have to. I was thinking for recommendations, like, specific things. So you're like, maybe I can give it a try.
Maybe.
You know,
I have very bad nightmares, so we will see. But aside from that, we basically, I'm not opposed to anything. The way that we pick the books is usually once I pick the guest, for this is probably like 90% of the episodes, book club picks. Once I pick the guest, I float a list to them of some titles that I think might be a good fit based on who they are, what they write, what they're into. And I ask them to float me a list of some books they're interested in. I tell them the only real rule is that it can't be brand new because I don't want to deal with library holds and all of that. So like our September book came out in April this year, and that's probably the newest thing we've ever done. Usually it's 6 or 8 months, but I love to do backlist too. I'm not Reese Witherspoon, so I'm not trying to turn it into a movie. I want to just read a really good book. And I think a lot of people want to go back and read some of the classics, want to go back and read things maybe they missed from 5, 10, 15 years ago or 150 years ago. So we try to do, like, we've done Shakespeare for book club. We try to just mix it up and keep it fresh. I try to not have two nonfiction books back to back or two novels back to back unless it's really different. And I'm open to reading whatever. So I try to fit it more towards what the guest wants to read, because I'm going to read a book this month for book club. I could love it. I could hate it. And that's the other thing. On my book club, I will hate things. I am not trying to sell you the book. I want to talk about it. So there might be a book that I absolutely love, but there's this one scene that drives me crazy. And we'll talk about that.
Yeah. I love this idea of, like, just that it's okay for you to hate it. It's okay that you're not marketing driven. A lot of times publishers want you to highlight books for book club. And they do, this would be an example, but the celebrities book club, but also like podcast book club. So you're looking for, hey, can you highlight this book that's coming out? And it has to be certain publishing schedule. And it's like kind of like nice to not follow.
I don't do any of that.
I don't do those anymore. I was like, I don't want to do any publisher rules because I want my readers want to listen to things that are easily available in the library, easily available on Kindle Unlimited. Like, we're on a budget right now. We're not buying fresh new books every day. We're not pre-ordering books. We're not doing ahead of time. We're marketing the readers who just want to be able to go dive into a book that they actually, it sounds interesting. And it doesn't matter that's been driven by marketing dollars. And I think that's been like a shift in this content creation space.
So I think for me, I've always said this, and sometimes people tell me that I'm too self-absorbed. So sorry, but This is a show that I created. I wanted to talk about the books that I wanted to talk about and the ways that I wanted to talk about them. And that was sort of my original founding principle. And I still think in a lot of ways that is still the principle of the show. Obviously, I have an audience and I think about them and what they're interested in. But I'm never going to put someone on the show because a publisher asked me to. I'm never going to feature a book because it's what other people are talking about. The one exception was last year, we read a Colleen Hoover book for book club because I'd never read Colleen Hoover and I just needed to know what everybody was talking about. Yes. But even in that regard, it wasn't because I was like, I want to be part of the Colleen Hoover movement. It was like, I need to know what this mess is about.
Yeah.
But because I started the show without any connections to publishing, and I started the show, by the time publishing found out about it, they knew what my deal was. They knew they couldn't tell me that, will you do this book for book club at this time? They just know if I'm going to do their book for book club, maybe they'll get an email from me. But a lot of times I don't even tell the publisher. I just announce it and I tag them on Instagram. But also, I don't know that Penguin Random House Classics cares that we're reading Romeo and Juliet. Like, they're not marketing Romeo. You know what I mean? So I think some of it is like, they don't care and I don't care. But also, like, my audience, I don't work for publishers. I work for my audience. I work for myself. Like, my show is about our community. And if it is favorable for the publisher, if the book gets a rave review from me, that's just because I like the book. It has nothing to do with any outside pressure. And I think part of the problem we're seeing in the literary landscape is that too many people are trying to be too buddy-buddy with publishers and authors, and it does a disservice when you don't have a real critical, like a critical community to go along with the artistic community. You lose out on so much. Too many book reviews in the New York Times and other places are just plot summaries from other authors who don't want to say anything mean because they don't want somebody to say something mean about their book when it comes out. And I think that is so bad for books. And I think that's why we're seeing less and less people reading and less people knowing where to find books, because they can't trust the trusted publications. And so for me, it's really important that I make a show that is a show that I would want to listen to, but also a show about books that I would want to read, because there are people like me who want to read things that are not Colleen Hoover, which I have not gone back to, believe it or not. And that's actually no shade to her per se. It's just not for me. So
Well, I think it's just basically, we've been in this space for a long time. We've been readers. I'm assuming you're a reader before you even started this platform. So you have been a reader for a long time. I was a reader most of my life. And I read what I like and I like what I read. And when I was screening, at one point, because of the influx of this show was like a lot of authors and a lot of specifics, it lost its purpose and I had to go back to it. I think I share, because you were supposed to come in sometime in February, and at that time I was like, I don't even know where I'm gonna go, because I needed to have a reckoning from that space of what is the landscape looks like, because it looked like a lot of people were regurgitating what the publisher wanted to. They wanted the free books, they wanted to have the attention, they wanted the money, they think that's a way to get the money. And the reality is that you lose, if it becomes a job, it doesn't, you read less, one, two, you read things that you don't like. And you put yourself in a place where you're just like regurgitating the marketing plots. And I had to come back and be like, no, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I just want to talk to readers. I just want to talk to maybe some authors who have some interesting thing to tell. But I wanted to talk about other aspects of it, not just what's selling right now. Totally. Not just what's selling, like the market trend that right now it's going viral. To talk about beyond those books and be like, let's talk about literary fiction. Let's talk about nonfiction, which we'll talk about. Let's talk about other things that are actually interesting, because I had to expand my taste beyond what was being sold, because I hated most of the books that I was sold. And I was like, well, we kind of had to go back to basics. And I moved away from romance and ended up in mysteries. And I was like, this is a whole new world. And I enjoy like this idea of murders and idea of like cozies, and idea of the space of a place that's a little bit different than what I was sold. This is what you need to read right now. I read Colleen Hoover back in 2016. It was a one and done. Would not go back. And that's my feelings. That's something that I'm like, I was passionate about. I read a lot of those book talk books in 2016, 2017. And I was like, I don't need to go back to those. But, you know, I think it's interesting, the landscape of everyone wants to be an influencer, or feels like everyone wants to be an influencer. Everyone thinks that they can make money out of books. And I think we both have been in this space where we talk about, like, yes, compensation is part of it,
yeah,
of the different things. But I think it's also having a strong voice and a strong place of, like, in the community and having to say, here's my boundaries. Here's what I like. And here's how I honor my community. And here's how I support, respect my audience and providing them what they're looking for.
Yeah.
As opposed to what we're being told that's going to sell.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes people don't understand, which I get, don't understand like what an influencer, like a content creator's job is. And it is not to work for the brands. It is to have a critical and thoughtful opinion about whatever. I mean, their job is to basically, they're tastemakers. Their job is to say, this is what is good. This is what matters, whether it's a pair of jeans or a literary fiction novel. And I think sometimes people think they want to do the job because they want to talk about books. But I think a lot of people quickly realize that the job is actually about having discerning taste a lot more than it is just talking about a product. Like, it's very easy to talk about something that you genuinely love. It's a totally different skill set to talk about something that you're sort of lukewarm on or hit or miss. And not that you're and that's to say, I don't want to be confusing here because it's slightly different than like a pair of jeans, like makeup. I talk about every book I read. So every book I finish, I review. So for me, what the challenge is, how do I talk respectfully about a book that I hated to also get across the point that, like, I hated this book and let's write about it, right? And I think that's the part that is tricky for some people. They think it's just like, oh my God, I love this book, pay me money. And it's very much not that, because also there's not very much money in book publishing, influencing. There's basically none. So I think, yeah, part of being an influencer in anything is having a discerning voice and also having a unique voice, having an authentic voice. And I think people quickly can sniff out when someone doesn't. And I also think people who don't have an authentic voice, if they're just in it for like free books or whatever, quickly fall out of the work. It doesn't, the amount of work is not, does not match the cost of a $30 book.
Not even. It's just a digital book, like a $15.99, you know, Kindle book. So thank you for engaging with this conversation about it, because I feel like there's a lot of curiosity around this space.
Totally.
And like a lot of people want to talk about it. I think you're a good person to talk to because you've been doing this for a long time and we've seen the trends. And I think it's someone to, as a contemporary in that space. So now let's talk about the subject that I'm very excited to talk about, which is nonfiction. As I was sharing with you before that, I'm a newest nonfiction listener. I love audiobooks nonfiction. I've been listening to a bunch of History of the Aughts and the 90s and millennial TV, music, true crime, but the actual white collar true crime, the scams and everything. So it's kind of like a mix of what it transitioned out of podcasts into actual nonfiction books. But I'm curious to hear from you because I know you're passionate about reading nonfiction and you have great starter guides and how to get started and how to find your actual niche with that. So let's talk about nonfiction.
I love nonfiction. I don't know what to tell you. Part of the whole read the books I wanted to read and the way that I wanted to read them is because I wanted to talk about nonfiction. I've always loved nonfiction. As long as I can remember, my nonfiction reading has been a huge part of my life. I am nonfiction first. I will read a novel. I'm so much harder on a novel. I'll never give a novel 5 stars. I'm always like, well, I didn't like that part. Nonfiction, I'm just obsessed with. I know a lot of people think that it's boring, or they'll say, I don't read self-help. And there's just so much more than self-help and business productivity books in the nonfiction space. Not everything is dry history or academic, though there are some amazing history books and amazing academic texts, and also, quite frankly, some really good self-helpy kind of books. Parenting nonfiction as a genre, not the how-to stuff, but the sort of like philosophy and psychology of parenting nonfiction. There's some good books in that space. But yeah, anytime someone is sort of dismissive of nonfiction, I take it personal, and then it becomes like a vendetta of how can I find the nonfiction book for them. And I am pretty confident I can find a nonfiction book for anybody. Not to toot my own horn, but I believe that nonfiction books exist for anybody, in the same way that a lot of people feel like there's a book for, like, when someone's like, I'm not a reader, I'm like, there's a book for you. Please relax. So yeah.
So let's get started. What would you be like if you're a starter guy, like a starter person who's like intimidated by nonfiction as myself? I have been for a long time. I was like, I don't know where to get started. Hello, that's what to read next is a podcast, because I had no idea what to read next. what things you should look into it. I used to read a lot of personal health development, self-help, and I just needed to take a break from that and actually look for other areas. Like, my interests are history, things about culture, reality TV stuff, as well as like some history specifics and some true crime.
So I have a new series that I do on my Substack, and it's called The Nonfiction Files. And every month I write about nonfiction in some way. And so I want to just direct people, if you really want to dig into this, my first two, one is called The Nonfiction Taxonomy, where I go through a taxonomy of nonfiction in the same ways that you would of like animals, like kingdom, phylum, whatever. I go through that for nonfiction. And then the second one I did was How to Pick a Nonfiction Book You'll Like. And that one has a lot of language around what are the words, keywords and phrases you might see in the back, like the jacket copy of a book that can help you to identify what kinds of nonfiction you'll like. So for example, if a book says that it's moving or comprehensive or definitive, or maybe you hear the word lyrical or exploration, and how those keywords are cluing the reader into what the nonfiction book is going to be like. Because in the taxonomy, I talk about how you can have a book that is, the topic is the same. Let's say it's a book about school shootings or guns. And one might be an academic book that explores the history and the details of that. And one might be reported journalism that is talking to people who've been impacted by gun violence at schools. And like, those two books are the same exact topic, but the style, whether it's academic, reported, or like maybe a memoir, they're going to be approaching the issues differently. So one of the things I really have been trying to do with The Nonfiction Files is key people in to the fact that you could be interested in a topic, but maybe you don't like the style of the book you've read, or you could be interested in some people I know just like narrative nonfiction, period. And they'll read about any topic as long as it's written by an investigative journalist. And so I think having better language to understand, in the same ways that we have all this nuanced language around fiction, right? You're talking about mysteries, and is it a cozy mystery, or is it a murder mystery? Is it like a heist, whatever? But people know what those words mean, and those words exist in nonfiction to clue readers into what they might like.
That is brilliant, because I just read a literary textbook about mysteries, understanding every single format of mysteries look like. And I was like, oh, I knew the language, so I know what to pick based on that. So we're going to link into your Substacks for you to grab it and to understand what nonfiction
I don't normally like. Plug myself that hard, but it does exist. And I'm really trying to help people find a way in. So if you are interested, I have it for you in way more detail than I can do right.
Awesome. Can you do some book recommendations? Just general recommendations to get started.
Just like broad nonfiction books that I like.
Let's do broader, like what you consider like starter guides, like people
So for people who like audiobooks but never read nonfiction, I always recommend to start with a celebrity memoir. That is nonfiction. If you like an audiobook, it's like you're gonna have Michelle Williams as Britney Spears right in your ears saying crazy things to you. Or Jessica Simpson has an amazing celebrity memoir. I don't even care about her that much. And I was like, this is the best book ever written.
We're best friends.
Yeah, I'm like, she's amazing. Chicken of the Sea. Totally. Yes, I'm there. Nick Lachey's the worst.
And so, John Mayer, Janelle, go for
it. Yes, that. So that's a very often easy recommendation, because there's so many celebrities, and they're all writing books these days, and most of them are reading their own audiobooks. So that's a place that I usually tell people to start. I think if you are nervous about nonfiction, you think you don't like nonfiction, finding books that read like a novel. So for example, this year, a book that came out was called A Marriage at Sea by Sophie Elmhurst. And it's very slim. It's about a couple in the 1970s who decide they're going to sail from England to New Zealand, I believe, on their little boat. The boat gets bumped, hit, eaten by a whale, and they have to survive at sea in their little dinghy. But it reads like a novel. It's so propulsive. And I think it is totally the kind of book that people who don't like nonfiction, quote unquote, will like. What else? I think if you're interested in sort of history, politics stuff, there's a book or and like law and kind of current stuff. There's a book by Elie Mystel. He had a new one this year, which I haven't read yet, but it's called Allow Me to Retort. And it's sort of like a funny book about the Supreme Court. And so if you want to know how the Supreme Court works and why certain rulings matter and stuff, like that's, I really like those kind of books as well. And then there's this other kind of nonfiction that is my, one of my favorite kind of sub genres, where a journalist will be talking about a topic or an industry, and they'll pick four or five people that they follow, and then they tell the story of that industry through these personal narratives. So, for example, if you know the book Evicted, Evicted does this beautifully. This year, there was a book called Bad Company, which was about private equity, that was fantastic. And then another book called There Is No Place for Us, which is about the working homeless, also fantastic. These books also often sort of read more like a novel. You're still going to get a lot of information that's braided in, but you're following a person or a family, so you're getting that much more narrative arc. So those kind of books, if you ever see a book that says something like, this book explores X and follows four Ys, then that's sort of a good clue. That might be one of those kinds of books.
Yes, I've read a couple influencer books like that. Actually, it's been interesting to understand the influencer. I think it's something click or influence or step up for the click or something. And it follows like four influencers as they were transitioning out of bloggers into space and to actually space. I think it would be fascinating to see. I'm looking at from that perspective, what industry you're interested in. I'm definitely going to bump up the private equity one.
It's so interesting.
Like, you get to understand the industry from the insiders and understand and have somebody else to relate it back to you.
Yeah. And I did an episode with the author, Megan Greenwell. So if folks want to hear that conversation, you'll get a better sense of the book and Megan. And she's fantastic. And she really breaks it down, because I didn't know a single thing about private equity. And now I've made private equity my entire personality.
It's not enemy number one. You know which one I read that I really enjoy and I just binged them were about malls. The Selling Sexy, which is a Victoria's Secret story about how the mall came about from that perspective. And then I ended up like pairing up with the J. Crew one, Kingdom of Prep, which actually talks about the rise and fall of J. Crew from the Den Alliance years to what it was in Dawson's Creek. Because I remember I was catalog version of it. And it was interesting to see the rise and fall of the malls and how we have shopping things, that trends have shifted and how brands are going in. So that was like a fun one that you wouldn't think of. It's like the stories about your favorite stores.
I mean, that's another thing for people to think about. If you have like niche interests, there's probably some really fun audiobooks or printed books about these topics. One of the jokes in the Stacks Pack, which is my Patreon community, is there's this book about grocery stores that everybody loves. And it's like, we're the weirdest people. There's a book about parking lots and parking that I loved called Paved Paradise. So there are these super niche kind of like micro histories is what we call those kind of books that really dig into a topic. There's a book that came out this year called Shade that's all about literal shade, like covered places from the sun and the history and also the politics of that and how it's shifting. So if you're a person who really likes to know how things work or like where things came from, there are a ton of really good nonfiction micro history books. And I usually tell people in that case, you probably want to lean on a topic of interest versus just the general kind of book, because I don't care about certain things. Though I thought I wasn't going to care about parking, and I live in LA, so it turns out I care a lot about parking.
Yeah, I love this idea of looking for your interests, looking to see if there's books around your interests, and looking for opportunities to understand the history or just nuances. Like, I know the normal gossip. She had a book about gossip.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating. It was like, well, gossip, it's storytelling. I come from Puerto Rico, so it's very, like, gossip is pretty, like, established culture. And it was fascinating to hear even niche podcasts having their own actually nonfiction about the history and specific things and allowing to sometimes like authors to meander around the topic and to go on tangents and understand a little bit more nuance that you wouldn't understand from one perspective. So,
yeah. So, and I didn't talk about memoir. People love memoir. I used to love memoir. This year, I am so out on memoir. I basically can't finish any memoirs. But if you want, I think like, one of the best recent memoirs is Heavy by Kia Say Layman. I've never recommended it to someone who didn't at least like it. Most people love it and become obsessed with it. It's fantastic. So I do believe there are good memoirs, but right now in in fall 2025 or late summer 2025. I'm so out on memoir. I already said I'm not reading any more memoirs this year. Like, I can't get into it. But if you've never explored memoir, you might really like it. I think I've read too many at this point.
Yes. And maybe that's why, maybe it's just for me, romance is too much and I'm just going to a different genre and try to explore different things within the genre.
I
think that's what the beauty of books and the beauty of the diversity of them that we have, because we not only have just the traditional published, but we also have independent published. We have different smaller press who are putting different work. So we have access to thousands of books and opportunities. And obviously there's a book for everyone, nonfiction and fiction. So Tracy, tell us where you can find you online. Tell us about the Substack, the Patreon, the podcast, and all the places.
Oh gosh, this is the easiest way to find me online. Go to at the Stacks Pod on Instagram and click my link in bio. It has access to the Patreon, to the Substack, but I am on both of those places. I'm on Threads. I have a website, thestackspodcast.com, and then the show, The Stacks, comes out every Wednesday on all of your podcast listening platforms. So wherever you're listening right now, just go search for The Stacks. You'll see a pile of books. You'll see my Converse. You'll see ankles. That's me. You can listen. And Laura said before, there's over 400 episodes, but numbered, there's 380 something. So we've had so many amazing authors on the show. If you search for a book title or an author's name and The Stacks, you might be able to find something that you love. So kind of have to explore.
Yes, there's plenty to go back to. So if you have a backlist you want to go dive into, The Stacks is ready for you. And it can keep you busy. One episode a day can be a whole year.
Over a year. Oh my gosh, I never thought about it that way. I want to die. Yeah.
You can keep someone's company.
Yeah. I'll be with you for an hour a day for the next year if you want.
There you go.
But also if you don't want, I don't hold it against you. I don't want to be for myself. With myself for an hour a day, let alone all the hours I have to be with myself. So I get it.
It is all good. Thank you, Tracy, for being in the show.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rate, review, or subscribe. This is the best way for this podcast to be discovered by other listeners. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.